Well, hey guys, we're continuing our series. As you can see, Comfort Zone, and we've been walking through just these community core values that Watermark has kind of identified for us. And this week we're going to be talking about living authentically. And the summary of this series we've been going through is just talking about how Jesus has called every one of us out of our comfort zone and into a community for a great cause, or with a great cause. And so we're talking about how we can do that biblically, and that walking in obedience doesn't mean it's always going to be the path of least resistance, that it's going to take some times of uncomfortability where we're going to have to push through our comfort zone towards who God wants us to be. And so I'm going to kick us off. We're going to be talking about living authentically. And so if you have your journals, Bibles, get those out, phone to take notes on, and we'll get started. Okay, so back in the early 2000s, there was this dating show on MTV, and it was a show called MTV Room Raiders. Who has heard of this show? There's like three of y'all. Okay, three of y'all. It's a terrible show. It's not good at all, but there's a show on MTV called Room Raiders, and the premise of this show is that they would take three contestants, and these three contestants would have their rooms raided or inspected, where this one person would go in and they would look at the contents of their room. Like, they would look in their closets, they would look in their drawers, they would just observe whatever was in their room, and they weren't able to see this person or identify this person. All they had to go off of what was in their room. That's all they had to go off of. And so they look in their room and they decide if they wanted to take this person on a date based on what was in their room. That's all they had to go off of. And so they couldn't see a picture of this person. They couldn't see anything about this person. All they had to go off of is what was in their room. And so the reason I know about this show, because I have an experience with this show, my house was actually on this show. As you can see, here's back in 2010-ish, no, earlier than that, 2008, here's MTV. They show up to my house. You see in the middle picture, that's actually my mom's van that she used to take us to carpool in. This is MTV at my house growing up. They came in and filmed part of the show. Long story short, we had a family friend who lived with us at the time, and she auditioned to be on the show and was on this show. And so that's how I know about this show. But the reality of this show is the special thing about this. What? I'll tell you later. Come find me. The special thing about this show is that the three contestants that had their room raided weren't able to clean anything up. Like, they weren't able to clean the toenails off the counter in the bathroom or the Q-tips. They weren't able to clean off anything. All they had in the room had to stay there, and they were kidnapped from their room, snatched from their room, and this person would go in and look at everything in their room. And so you would see, as this TV show followed this one person as they observed what was in their room, these people would be just so embarrassed. Like, can you imagine someone literally walking into your room and looking through, like, the contents of your room, your drawers, your closet? You'd be like, that is embarrassing. Like, that is really embarrassing. Like, I don't want anyone to find that stuff. And so what the reality was is that you would see that they would pull out different things, and these people would be so embarrassed, because they would be exposed, because they had things in their room that they thought were going to stay hidden. Things in their room that they thought they could hide, that no one would find out about, that no one would know about. And the reality is they would walk into that room and they would pull it out for the first time and show them, like, it was like cat posters or gnome collections or weird things that they would collect, and they would find these things and they would be so embarrassed. And so I want to talk to you guys about, man, I think there's similarly, like, we have things in our life that we, if we're honest, that we like to remain hidden. Like, behind closed doors, it's so easy, it's so tempting to keep things, you know, have a public life that is one way, and then behind closed doors, we like to keep things hidden. Or we like to hide because it's tempting to do that. Where we stuff things in a drawer, or we keep things in a closet, and we live one way externally, and then behind closed doors, we live another way. And just like this show talks about, like, where these people thought that they could hide, that they had things that they could hide that weren't going to be found, man, Scripture references that, that what we try to hide will always be found. That what we try to hide will always be found, which is my central truth that I want you guys to write down, is that what we try to hide will always be found. It comes straight from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says, Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes. Who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart? Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So Scripture teaches us that our lives are going to be inspected. Like, our lives are going to be inspected. Our rooms are going to be raided, where God is going to expose the things in our life that we try to remain hidden. Because God's intention for our life is that we live authentically, that he wants us to be fully known and fully loved. And so I want to talk about real quickly tonight just the dangers of what it looks like when we don't live authentically. Here, talk about three dangers that when we don't live authentically, that when we hide, that we live a life behind closed doors, that here are three things that can happen when we don't live a life that is authentic. And so we're going to be exploring, if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua 7. We're going to be looking at a man named Achan. Now, Achan in the Bible was a man who really tried to hide. And actually, he tried to hide things in his room and thought that he was never going to be found out. And his room was actually raided, and he was exposed for things that he was trying to hide. And so if you have your Bibles, go to Joshua 7. And while you're getting there, I'm going to give some context a little bit of what's going on. And so in this passage, the Israelites have just crossed over into the Promised Land. They've defeated Jericho. They wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they go over into the Promised Land. They defeated Jericho, so they're in the height of their success. And God gives them one command. He says, hey, do not take any of the devoted things. So he says, hey, do not take anything from the city of Jericho that could keep your heart from me. He says, hey, I want you guys to be a holy nation, a nation that is set apart. And he knew that if they took things from this city, that it would keep their devotion from the Lord. And so he said, hey, just stay away from it. Keep these things far from you. Don't take anything, any devoted things from this city. And we learn about one man named Achan who goes against God's commands. And so we see an interaction between Joshua and Achan in Joshua 7, 19, verse 22. I'm going to read it. I want you to pay attention to the word hide. How many times it says that word? So here we go. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. So when he's found out, Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder of a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted it, them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And so God clearly stated, hey, Achan, hey, Israel, do not take any of the devoted things. And what Achan did is he said, hey, I think I'm an exception to that rule. That he took God's commands, and he just said, hey, they're simply suggestions to me. Like, those commands don't apply to me. I'm the exception to the rule. And Achan just disregards the consequences. He disregards God's commands. He disregards what God had clearly stated in his word. Do not take any of the devoted things. And you see how he takes it, he covets it, and he hides it in his tent. And the reason that he did that is because he thought that, man, hiding, it just seems harmless. And I want us to understand that hiding always seems harmless. Hiding always seems harmless. There's a point up there that hiding always seems harmless. And we hide, it always feels safer in the moment. We can come up with that excuse where we've done something wrong, and we justify it by saying, hey, no one will know about it. I can hide this in my room, no one will see. No one knows about it. You know, I'm not hurting anybody. I can do what I want. It's not hurting anybody. The excuses go on and on and on. And we can simply justify that small action, that small decision. We need to understand that hiding seems harmless. But I want to talk to you guys tonight about why it's not. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you will not to do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. That everything in your life, everything in your heart is going to resist living authentically because it's hard. You don't want to be found out. That it's hard to live authentically, but I want you guys to understand that there's freedom in the authentic life. There is freedom in the authentic life, and so we want to learn how we can do that. So tonight we're going to talk about three dangers of living in inauthenticity. Number one, Inauthenticity kills your friendships. It kills your friendships. Because, hey, when we sin, man, that just doesn't affect us. That affects people around us. That sin casts a wide net. That sin casts a wide net, and it's not just an individual thing, that it can affect others around us. Because every relationship is built on trust. And the way we build trust is always through vulnerability, is always through being honest, is always through being authentic. And so the way you build that, if you're not careful, if you hide, that you are just building distrust among your peers. And that you guys have an opportunity as leaders in this room to give people the gift of going first. To where you guys could say, hey, I'm going to go first. I'm going to be the authentic one. Because I know no one else wants to do it. But when I do it, when I go first, man, people are going to respect you. And then people are going to understand that they're not perfect. And they need to hear that they don't have to be perfect. That we can be open and honest and authentic. And in Achan's case, if you keep reading in that story, you're going to see how Achan sinned, how Achan hid, and how it didn't just affect him. But if you look down the line, Achan's family actually dies because of his sin. We see how Israel gets defeated in an army. We see how the favor of the Lord is removed from Israel because of this man's sin, this guy's hard-heartedness, and not trying to live authentically but hide things in his closet and not tell anyone about. And man, in your case, when we hide, we're not giving God's grace an opportunity to work. We show people our brokenness and show, hey, I'm not perfect, but God's grace has restored me. And we get to share that and share our brokenness and share our hurts, because burdens are always meant to be shared, and that you guys cannot heal without the help of another person. Like, that's the way God has operated. Like, he's orchestrated our life. In order to be helped, you need the help of another person, a community of people. That's why we want you guys to be in community groups. Proverbs 28:13, it was on that screen. If you already wrote it down, it just says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Will not prosper. The meaning, I'm not going to prosper individually. I'm not going to prosper in friendships. I'm not going to prosper with community. You will not prosper. But then the truth right here. But he who confesses and forsakes will obtain mercy. That freedom is found in authenticity when we confess that God says he will heal and we will find healing. That freedom is found there. That our burdens are always meant to be shared. That God wants that for us. And I think the reason a lot of us aren't authentic, and I can say this for me, is because we have a desperate need to be liked. Like, we really want people to think much of us. Like, we really want, like, the minute we wake up, we look in the mirror, we're trying to have people like us. Because we dress a certain way. We're trying to, if you're a girl, you put on makeup, you do your hair. If you're a guy, I don't even know what you do. You probably just, you know, rub your face and then move on. You don't even look in the mirror. But what you do every day, the decisions that you make, the social media that you get on, the pictures that you post, is always a decision to be liked. Because we're always thinking through the lens of, man, I want somebody to like me. And the reality we need to think on is that the irony there is that people always respect and they admire the authentic person. And so no one wants to do it, but always everyone respects that person who shares, who goes first, who's willing to be authentic, who's willing to show their weaknesses. And so I want you guys to understand the second point as we move on. The second point, the second danger of not being being inauthentic is number two, inauthenticity keeps you from being fully known. Inauthenticity keeps you from being fully known. And so the reason we say, hey, we want every student to feel known and accepted, taught about Jesus, challenge to go, you know it. The reason we start, we want every student to feel known and accepted because that's how God has designed it, that you would be fully known. In order for you to be truly loved, you need to be fully known, that people need to see who you are. They need to see the fullest expression of who you are and the way God's designed you to be, because, man, it's too much pressure to try to perform, to try to be a fake, and it takes too much work to try to manage your own image. It doesn't work. It's too hard. It's tiring. And so when we can be fully authentic, we can be fully ourselves, and we can live in God's intended purpose for our life. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. Our own desire is always to isolate, is always protect our own image, is always for others just to like us. And so we hide, we manage, we give half-truths. It's always easier to do that. But people always respect the person who's authentic. And so when you're choosing to live in the light, man, you're given an opportunity for others to do so also. And you're leading your community and doing that. There's a phrase we've coined around Watermark called share that 2%. So it comes from this the idea that 98% of us, it's probably relatively easy to be known and just share the 98% of our baggage. But there's always that 2% that it's just so hard to share, to where all of us just resist doing that because just to protect ourselves for fear. We don't want to share everything. I got a text from my friend last night at 10:30. And he texts me, he says, hey, can I come over and give you something? And I met him in his car outside, and he gets out of the side of his car and he hands me the cord to his TV. And he just said, hey, I can't do this anymore. In a sense of like, hey, this cable, this whatever's going on this TV has made me stumble. Here is my 2%. Like, I got to get rid of this thing. And he just hands it to me. And he says, hey, can you hold on to this? That was his 2%. He had never shared that with anybody. And he said, I need you to know this. I need to be fully known. And so, man, I just got to watch as just kind of the pressure just fell off of him as he, for the first time, man, really lived in a ton of freedom, because he knew for the first time he could experience the life that God intended for him to be fully known. And then now I get to hold him accountable. Now I get to encourage him. And I said, man, I respect you because now you're living authentic. So the third danger of living inauthentic is that inauthenticity causes you to live in fear. Inauthenticity causes you to live in fear. So the first thing that Adam and Eve did, like in the perfection of the garden, you see how they have a relationship with God and they dwell with him. But when they sin, they immediately realize their brokenness and they were naked and ashamed. And so what did they do? They hid. They hid because they had a fear of being found out. They had a fear of being found out. They didn't want to be exposed for who they really were. They didn't want to be exposed by their sin. And so they ran and they hid. And that's what sin does. It robs us of the ability to live peacefully. And that when we grow and we hide and we run and we manage information, man, we're not able to live in the freedom that God wants us to experience. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. That a righteous are as bold as a lion. That when we make a sin and we kind of stuff it in the closet, we don't think about it, and then we continue to kind of hide and manage, man, it gets hard to share. It gets harder and harder to share. But I want you guys to understand, man, that freedom always comes in authenticity and confession and vulnerability. And so who here has seen the movie Inception? It's a great movie. You haven't seen it. It's amazing. It'll mess with your mind. But it's an incredible movie. I watched it the other day with my wife for like the fifth time, and I still can't figure it out. But it's a great movie. And so if you've seen it, the main character in the movie, you see how he has this underlying problem that he's never shared with anybody. And it really wrecks this man. It wrecks his, physically, he's just tormented by this. You see that his friends are hurt by it. You see that he's never shared this information with anybody else. And at the end of the movie, he confronts this thing that he had tried to kind of stuff and hide away. It was that he was actually responsible for his wife's passing. He's responsible for his wife's passing. And that's not a spoiler. It's in the entire movie. It's not a spoiler, Jace. Don't give me that look. But it's not a spoiler. And at the end of the movie, you see how he actually confronts this thing that he's been hiding. And I will never forget this quote, because it really stuck with me what he said. Because he's in a dream, and he's confronting this thing, this skeleton in the closet that he's never confronted before. And he's in a dream, and he's actually in a dream with his wife. And his wife asks him what he feels. And this is what he responds. He goes, guilt. I feel guilt. No matter what I do, no matter how hopeless I am, no matter how confused, that guilt is always there reminding me of the truth. Like that, you could just feel, like I just felt the man was hurting because he had just stuffed that guilt inside of himself and he never shared. And you just get to watch as soon as he shares that information, just a weight is lifted off this man's shoulders. And that he realized, man, the cost of hiding, the cost of inauthenticity was so much greater than the cost of authenticity. The cost of hiding was always greater than the cost of inauthenticity or the cost of authenticity. So I want to conclude with that statement, is that the cost of hiding is always greater than the cost of authenticity. The cost of hiding is always greater than the cost of authenticity. I want that to be the highlight of this message. And as you break out into your groups, kind of discuss that principle. I want to share two scriptures that we can find hope in. 1 John 1:9 just says, if we confess with our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us all from unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us all from unrighteousness. And then James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I love those verses because God is just saying, hey, I'm waiting, that I'm fully aware of your imperfections. And I'm standing by just waiting for you to open the door and show me your room. Like, show me your room where you can find healing. Because, man, God can only heal what we acknowledge. We acknowledge things in our life that we're tended to hide and tended to give half-truths. Man, God wants us to, God can heal those things. We don't have to live in fear or insecurity or feel like we have to manage information or look over our shoulder as the hopes we don't want to be found out. But we can live fully confident and secure knowing that, hey, I've shared my 100%. I've shared that 2%. And then I can be fully known and fully loved. And I want you guys to understand that. So if you're feeling any type of weight or burden or something in your life that's just, hey, this isn't right. Maybe I need to go approach someone and tell somebody, or I know, man, I'm doing something that, man, I would not want others to see. Man, you need to take this moment. I encourage you to go share that with someone. Take your small group leader. Tell your small group leader. Tell your community group. Let them hold you accountable. Share that 2% so you can find freedom. So you can be bold as a lion, as Proverbs 28:1 says. And so I'm going to give just three questions that I want you guys to write down and reflect on, because I really want this just message to be something where you guys can just sit and think about. And as you're spending time in God's word, kind of meditate on as you're working through, how can I live more authentically? Is number one, am I seeking attention from others or connection with others? Am I seeking attention from others or connection with others? And I think there's a huge difference, because when our goal is to be noticed, when our goal is to have people see us, we're tempted to just manage our image. That we want the attention from others, we're tempted to just manage our own image. But when we want to connect with others, then we're encouraged to share our weakness. Because people, man, someone told me this one time, and it really resonated with me, is that people are impressed by your strengths, but they're identified with your weaknesses. The people are impressed that, man, you can do certain things, or, man, you have certain abilities. Maybe that's impressive to others, but do you really connect through weakness? And if you share that, you are leading others well. Am I seeking attention from others or connection with others? The second one is, when people see me, does God look good? When people see me, does God look good? The decisions I make every day, is it decisions to kind of gratify my own flesh, to make my name famous? Or is it, hey, am I glorifying the Lord? Is he finding just glory in my own weakness, as 1 Corinthians 12 says, that Paul says in 1 Corinthians, is he finding glory in my weakness? And then lastly, do I confess or wait to get caught? Do I confess or wait to get caught? Am I looking for opportunities to share things, even at the thought levels, things that, man, I know that if I'm tempted, I would run that way. Am I sharing that information that I want my community group to hold me accountable? Am I always living in the light? Or am I hiding? Am I managing information? Am I hoping no one raids my room, as that illustration talked about, and sees things in my life that are not congruent with my external life, my public life? And I want those, man, I want you guys to understand that there's freedom always in confession, and that the cost of hiding is always greater than the cost of authenticity. And so, man, I hope you guys are encouraged by that, in the sense of, man, God wants to heal what we acknowledge. And if we simply acknowledge that, we're given an opportunity for his grace to be revealed and shown and testified to the others around us. And that's what leaders do. They live authentic lives, and they give people the gift of going first by saying, hey, I'm broken. I'm broken. I need a Savior. And God sent a Son in order for me to find healing. And let me just be encouraged by that. And so think about those three things. I want you guys to break out in your groups. I'm going to pray real quick. But first, we're going to do guy-girl specific groups. We think that would be helpful just for the context of this information. And so as you break out in your school groups, just break off into girl and guy groups. Awesome. Sound good? I'm going to pray real quick, and we're going to jump out of here. Lord, thank you that you're a God who saves. You're a God that has offered healing when we simply acknowledge our own brokenness. That 1 John says that if we claim to be without sin, that we make you out to be a liar, that there is sin in our hearts that we need to bring before you, because you're waiting to heal that. And so I pray if there's anyone in the room who's struggling with a sin that's entangling them, that you would give them freedom today and help them see that freedom comes in confession. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.